evening I have something different to share, but it's still related, very much related to what we have been looking at. Something caught my attention when I read an article. Someone prophesied about Donald Trump. Okay, we are not talking about politics. Okay, I'm just talking about... And many people have different ideas about Donald Trump, but Donald Trump has done many, many things for the kingdom of God. Isn't that amazing? Okay, so he said he was sort of a prophet, a speaker. He's a very famous person. He wrote a book before the election. He said Donald Trump is God's chaos candidate. But God's chosen candidate. Right? He said something that caught my attention. He said if Donald Trump were to be a president, I think that time not yet. It would cause a reset button to be pressed. Something struck inside me. Do you know what's a reset button? It means, you know, things have been going on. Suddenly there is a reset button. If you and I, if you have been reading a lot of what happens in America, I know we read a lot of Malaysia, but what happens in America, they are sliding down real quick with President Obama. Yeah. Very down, right? All the way, like, you will not expect Christians to have a good time. Yeah. It's really sliding down very fast. But all of a sudden, because of God's sovereign plan, and people were praying, they have Donald Trump. And because of Donald Trump, there's a reset. Means like that. Like then suddenly, it's like in our game and watch like, the game, your computer game. Black screen, start all over again. It start over again. So I'm so happy. Like you left 3 lives only. You left 1 last life. You're gonna die again. Suddenly you get reset again. All 10 lives appear again. No need to pay money. Then you go. You know. Getting whatever, right? You put money, last coin already. Suddenly, blackout for a while, on again. I can play again 10 lives. Reset. Can happen or not? And I've been thinking, not fair. Not fair, right? To some people, it's not fair, right? And that's your, and that's my unfair advantage. Isn't it? Do you agree with me? If you don't agree with me, your salvation is in question. Because all along, you and I, not fair, and we go to heaven. But because of Jesus, there's a reset button. We are all on the way to hell. No way you can go to heaven. No way you can climb your way out from hell. But very unfair. Just because there is Jesus who died for you, for me, we receive Jesus, what he has done, our life has a reset. What is meant to be a downtrend, suddenly you start afresh, sitting at the right hand of Jesus. Whoa. If you think of that, our Christian faith is very, very powerful. It really changes your life. It transforms your life. Right now. Wow. You should think along that line. Then I've been thinking, if there's a reset, is there a reformat? You know what's a reformat? Your computer, right? Recently, my laptop in office, for 2-3 months, they tried to fix the USB port. I got a new laptop, but the USB port cannot use, you know? They have many security things. I say, I'm not subject to all these. I can use USB. Try for 2-3 months, cannot do. Finally, they reformatted. Reformat the new laptop? Can use already. If our lives get reformatted, it's like a reset. You know what's reformat, right? Your phone, your camera, delete all inside your storage. Your storage, wow, red color already. The cleaner keeps popping up. Clean your hard disk. You have that China phone? Clean your hard disk. Clean your disk. Clean your SD card. Less 2%, 10%. You go and delete all, reformat. Oh, your SD card suddenly is full again. Wow. So this is what he said, I read to you. The Trump era appears to open up a door to the people of God globally advancing the kingdom. Which is true, you know. He was instrumental to recognize Jerusalem as a capital. No one president dare to do that. Reset lah. Obama is all against Israel, right? Funding Iran. Funding Israel's enemy. Suddenly you have Donald Trump say, I don't care. Correct? His style is, I don't care. I want Jerusalem to be my capital. Correct? And it didn't end there. Like what I said, you know, Australia seems to catch the wind. Not just that, Malaysia also seems to catch the wind. Our country does not acknowledge Israel. That's besides the point. But if you can see, many nations begin to change. Yeah. After around the time of Donald Trump's era, yeah. I begin to think, is this a time and a season that you and I must be aware of? I begin to think, God works in times and seasons. What is the time and season? Remember the verse that we started in on 31st August in Genesis chapter 8. We talked about Noah opening up the window, releasing the dove. Remember that one? And releasing the raven. Do you remember that one? Have you ever asked yourself, why did Noah wait for 7 days? He released the raven, then he released the dove. Right? The dove came back because couldn't find a resting place, right? Then he waited for 7 days. It has been quite a mystery to me. I know we can explain it, we can talk about it, you know, 7 days week of rest is all correct. And then he released again. And the dove took back on his beak a freshly olive leaf. He released the dove again. 7 days after that, didn't come back anymore. Why 7 days? It's like there is a 7 day cycle. In the plans of God, there is a reset. You know, after 7 days, reset. Try again. Correct now. After 7 days, try again. After 7 days, try again. So if you begin to read from Exodus, then you have this 7 day thing. Then God began to introduce Shemitah in Jew. Shemitah is the 7 year cycle. Right? From the start of creation, you have the 7 days. Then you see along the path, this is how God works. God works in a cyclical pattern. He introduced something, he increased it, he made it known, bring it to completion, bring it to fulfillment. So in the laws that he gave to Moses, he said there are 7 years. After 7 years, it's called the Shemitah year. Land cannot plant anything, cannot sow anything. Well, you're in farming. Eh? If you leave the farm whole year, it's meant for the land to rest, right? Do you do that? People don't do that, right? Die lah, tada wang, tada untung, tada mana boleh hidup. But that's a secret principle that could it be that we do not understand? Okay, so we are not going to say, oh, from Donald Trump, let's count 7 years. Most of us will be very smart, right? Go back and count 7 years. There'll be another reset. I'm not talking about the number, specific number of years, but it introduces the concept of times and season, that God works in times and season, and in certain season, like this author said, in the Trump era, the door is open for God's people globally to advance the kingdom. Then he said, if they can seize the moment. If they can seize the moment. And then he added a question, how long will the moment last? Very nice, right? Very powerful statement, very powerful observation. He said, from my perspective, it is a reset when Donald Trump was about to be elected. So God works in times and seasons. Why is it important? Why did this author say you must seize the season? Malaysians are not so aware because we only have one season. If they have four seasons, you will be very much aware that you have to prepare yourself for different seasons. Correct? If it is a winter season, all Malaysians will be in trouble. Not prepared. My car is not prepared for it. I have aircon. I don't have hot corn. I have singlet. I don't have the jacket and all that. All long johns, people, all long john, short jacket. All like long john or whatever, people need to wear all the long john, mitten, all everything, right? Cover up and say, do you need to wear that? No, we are all Malaysian. Better don't need to wear anything. Right, the guys all at home don't wear anything, right? So you don't know what to do. But for a person living in four seasons, they are very much aware. So in case one day all of you got called to do something, suddenly you receive an invitation. Maybe one day Brother Joseph got an invitation to preach in
Russia.
Russia too easy lah. Give him some difficult name. Tugajikistan or whatever. Yeah, some country like that. Turkmenistan or something. Wow, he's so happy. Praise God. Someone from Turkmenistan calling me to preach. Hey, everything go there. Snowing. Preach the airport, go out to the airport. Go out from the airport, snowing. Before he can preach, he's already frozen. So must check first. Turkmenistan, what season is it? How must I prepare for it? Correct or not? He prepare all this. Great lah. I think same like my hometown in Penang got beach. Or he prepare all the camp, all beach gear. All he went. When they all snowing.
Tsunami.
We have to wear the right garment for the right season. If you are in winter, you are in autumn, you have to dress differently. I can still remember very clearly when I was a young person, when I was growing up in the church, we have an elder who lead us, he's very sensitive to the Holy Spirit, he teaches us soft worship leading and all that. I was not worship leading that day, another young man was leading worship that day. So he was leading worship already, maybe he was worship, suddenly he changed song. Suddenly you hear very loud noise, the elder scolding the man. Why do you change the song? You're not sensitive to the Holy Spirit. God is already using that song. You still want to follow your five list of songs. You say, why change the song? It's not business as usual. Wow. See, it went into my mind. Deeply impressed in me. If you know you are in that season, you no longer live BAU, business as usual. Business as usual, I go along with life lah. Okay lah, since I'm a Christian since 5 years old, this is how I go to church. Selamba, there go. Drag my sandals, and just sit down. Leg shake. See today what the pastor say, right? But it's not business as usual. I got it into my mind. The elders shouted very loudly. He appreciated when the Holy Spirit is moving. You don't dare try to do anything. You think you are so smart. Or it's not him smart. This is a younger. He was younger than me. He was leading worship. He was learning. He was going through the song. He said, "It's not business as usual. Why do you sing song? God was using that song. God was the anointing was there." That's what I thought. You all right? You must have an eye for the Holy Spirit. People don't get it. A lot of people don't get it. They just, I prepare 5 songs, I leave 5 songs. Now. But what if the second songs, God begin to fall, Holy Spirit begin to come? Oh, yeah, I still have 3 songs. So don't know how. Correct, no? That's what happened also. I prepared the message already so long. I still have 3 points, didn't finish. Should I tell, should I not? But you flow with the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. In your work, in everything we do, not just ministry. When it is not business as usual, you and I better change, better take note, better do the necessary adjustment. And I'm now stressing the importance about the times and season you and I are living in. Who knows, we can seize this moment. Seize this moment. For Queen Esther, he was told to her, right, who knows, you are born for such a time as this. To fulfill her destiny. She was just maybe an orphan, right? She didn't have the parents with her. Maybe without a destiny, she was just living. She was born with a beautiful face. Like today you read in the paper, right? Some Air Asia stewardess. People take her photo, and now she's super popular the whole world because she has a pretty face. Even the England newspaper also published the news. Do you know? You don't read the news? It's headline.
Not important.
So, like Esther, she was born with a beautiful face. She thought, wow, she was a beautiful face. She thought with a beautiful face, okay lah, I may be happy, I may get a rich husband, whatever. Who knows? The destiny, the fate of the entire Israel rested on her. She was born for such a time as this. But she was, I don't know all this. I'm just a girl, plain Jane, I'm a pretty face girl. You don't ask me to go and do all that. We all think like that, right? I can't do all this one. I'm just like that. I'm just a housewife. Don't ask me to do this. Or I'm just doing this. Don't ask me to do that. I'm not called to do like that. But what if you were born for such a time as this? And you still want to, I cannot want. Esther missed that destiny. The entire nation missed its destiny. Just because you're like that, cannot. You miss out on God's destiny. Your own limitation cost you. Oh, people don't understand me. I can't speak well. A lot of people always give excuses. I was born, I could not speak English very well. My auntie all laugh at me. My elder sister can verify that. Because I can't speak English well. You know, I have broken English. But by the grace of God, I can speak English today. Some people won't believe, right? It's God's grace. So if I were thinking, I cannot speak English, right? You know, the first time when I was asked to lead worship, I almost missed my destiny. In my church, when I was a young man, you know, because everybody was very scared of the fierce elder, right? So he asked me to lead worship, and he said, "Now, okay, go ahead, go." I said, maybe next time. I prepare already. But you know our Chinese style, paisei la. Paisei la, next time la. This is all this Chinese. Because of Chinese la, all this Asian funny Chinese style. Correct or not? If ang mo, let's go, let's do it. Let's do it, dude, let's do it. Correct or not? Then you shy la, no face la. I say like that, oh, I say, do next week, then next week. Then when I was sitting there, he begins to lead song. I think to myself, if I don't do it now, I won't get the chance to do it again. I walk up to the stage and I say, I will do it. I say, okay. How many times you say, be like that, right? Next time, lah. Chinese, lah. I have many Chinese stories. I went to Argentina, woke up already. I was staying in the house of someone. Say, what do you have? Are you hungry? No. That's it. No food for you. I said, oh, yo. How can you say we are hungry? Huh? Chinese cannot say hungry. Can you say hungry? You can't tell people you are hungry. Are you hungry? I prepare for you. I prepare sandwich for you. No, I'm fine. That's it, a whole day, no food. I regretted that very much. Regretted that, but I said no. You see that or not? Chinese has this very good culture. You know, we respect, we don't show what's inside and all that. But that's it, like, you go to a place like that. So these are the stories. Huh? If you're hungry, they are better tell. In case next time people ask you, are you hungry? A bit. Yeah. But Joseph will say a bit. They'll give you this small tiny thing. It is all cultural limitations. Most of you say no lah. Alex say I'm not.
I love to eat.
Okay. He's making a clear statement. I love to eat. Praise the Lord. I also love to eat.
sit in front of you. Now I won't say I don't lie like that. Don't just say it.
After supper,
you love durian. 100%. I also love durian. But also, there's also a problem about Chinese. Because like that idea, then you use the in Mandarin it's called answer. You know, you don't become forthright. Nowadays, durian very nice, huh? You're not straightforward. You like that, you get what you want. Also very dangerous. Right? Hinting. You get it or not? Like that, you know? Like that. 5 years already, I never tried durian. 5 years already, I didn't get to try durian. Huh? You just came back from where?
The Sechanga durian.
Wow. See, all these things we must throw away. Cultural things that can become a way that we live that's not right according to the word of God. Correct? We use hinting. I must hint. This relays like that. I hope people will give. Not right. Okay, that's not right. We must be upright. Amen. Everybody say amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's live upright life before God. So what is God doing in this season? So the idea, the thing that led me to look at this 7-day thing. You know, Noah has a 7-day, there's a reset. Before he released the dove again, you see, he gave a chance. Correct, ma? God wants to find a resting place. The Holy Spirit wants to find a resting place. First time, tak jadi. Cannot find. It's all dead works, dead bodies. Okay, he gives a chance. Listen carefully. God orchestrates circumstances in our lives. God used multitudes of angels to orchestrate certain things in our lives. So it happens, it gives you an opportunity. You missed it, God has to start again. He has to get the angels all to do and to arrange circumstances again, give you a chance again. You see that? Never think that you miss an opportunity means, never mind, you'll come again. When will it come again? It takes another reset. So that reset is a 7-day thing. 7-day period. You see that? God used 7 days because there is something special that God instituted Sabbath, the seventh day. Whether people like it or not, there is a seventh day. Amen. Hallelujah. So what God is seeking to do, let's look at what is the purpose, why God instituted. I want us just to focus on this. When God instituted Sabbath, what was the purpose of God? Okay, Deuteronomy chapter 5. Number one, what is God doing in this season? The first point I want all of us to know and to remember is God is doing a liberation, a deliverance, and a freedom work. God is releasing people from bondage. Okay? That is the first point. What is God doing in this season, in this Sabbath, in this thing? The theme number one is God is bringing freedom, deliverance, and liberation, release from bondage. Okay? Bondage from what, you ask? Huh? Liberation from what? Freedom from what? Number one, Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 15. And remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out from there by a mighty hand and by an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day. Why? He wants us to remember we were once slaves in the land of Egypt. So, whatever situation you are in, whatever kind of condition you are in, this is one promise that you can grab hold of in this opportune season. Right? The very 7 months ago, the first time we started this gathering, I spoke about the Kairos season. This is like a part two to it. we are still living in a Kairos season. What is God doing? Number one, God is doing freedom, deliverance, liberation from Egypt, number one, from the world. For God is preparing us for what is ahead, but He wants to prepare us first, deliver us from Egypt. We can be out of Egypt, but what if Egypt is inside you, inside me? Do you get it? We are not of the world, but if the world is inside you, this is the time God wants to deal with us. Free us from the influences of this world, contamination of the world. Simple things, like I say, cultural things that are so ingrained in us, but not consistent to the kingdom of heaven. We have to be delivered little by little. Not little. Has to be delivered. Has to be liberated. Our old way, the worldly way of thinking, has to be free. Amen? Number two, still liberation, deliverance and freedom. From what? During Sabbath, during the 7-year Shemitah, slaves are set free. You know, after 7 years, a slave serves you for 6 years, the 7 years you must let them go free. This is law. I know it's Old Testament, but Old Testament is a shadow of the new. There is still truth in it. Of course, now you don't have servant, right? Exodus 21. You just write this down. There are two passages of scriptures. Exodus 21, verses 2 to 6, and Deuteronomy chapter 15, verses 12 to 18. These two passages, I repeat, Exodus 21, from verse 2 to verse 6, and Deuteronomy chapter 15, verse 12 to verse 18, it speaks about if a person has a servant who has served you for 6 years, in the 7th year, you have to let that servant go free and pay nothing. He doesn't have to pay to be free. And then let me read from Exodus 21, verse 3. If he comes in by himself, he shall go out by himself. If he comes in married, his wife shall go out with him. If his master has given him a wife, she has borne him son or daughters, the wife and children shall be her master's, he shall go out by himself. But if the servant plainly say, I love my master, my wife and my children, I will not go out free, his master shall bring him to the judges, he shall also bring him to the door, and his master shall pierce his ear with an awl, and he shall serve him forever. That is a different thing we will talk about other times. That is talking about bond servant. Even though you are free to go, you refuse to go. There is a difference between two types of servant. But what we are focusing now is on the 7th year, in the season of the 7th, in the 7th year, Shemitah year, slaves are set free. Slaves are set free. So grab this moment, grab this season with all your heart. In your life, if there is a bondage, if you feel you are enslaved to certain things, this is the time God will, things will come through very fast for you in terms of being freedom, in terms of being free from the world, being set free from bondages. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. The third thing that you'll be set free is your debt will be cancelled. Your debt will be cancelled. Deuteronomy chapter 15. Deuteronomy chapter 15, I read to you from verse 1 to verse 6. At the end of every 7 years, you shall grant release of debt. How many of you are happy to have a release of debt? Cancel. Your IOU all are cancelled. Deuteronomy chapter 15, from verse 1 to verse 6, okay? Deuteronomy chapter 15. Let's read together if you have a Bible. Someone read verse 1, another person read verse 2, and so on. Deuteronomy chapter 15, go.
At the end of every 7 years, you shall grant a release of debts.
Verse 2.
And this is the form of the release. Every creditor who has lent anything to his neighbor shall release it. He shall not require it of his neighbor or his brother, because it is called the Lord's release.
Verse 3.
Of a foreigner you may require it, but you shall give up your claim to what is owed by your brother.
Verse 4.
Except when there may be no poor among you, for the Lord will greatly bless you in the land which the Lord your God is giving you to possess as an inheritance.
Verse 5.
Only if you carefully obey the voice of the Lord your God to observe Okay, all these commandments which I command you today.
Verse 6.
For the Lord your God will bless you, just as he promised you. You shall lend to many nations, but you shall not rule over. You shall reign over many nations, but you shall not reign over.
Amen. Hallelujah. So, debts will be cancelled. Some people really believe in supernatural debt cancellation, right? I believe that sometimes God can do all kinds of things. God can reduce your debt. But if all of these kind of things happen, it has to be truly supernatural according to God's upright way. I do not subscribe to people who say supernatural debt cancellation, then you don't go and pay your debt. You expect the debt to be cancelled. You know, by faith, don't pay your debt. The along will come after you. God cannot save you, okay? There's no, it's not, you cannot apply truth wrongly one. Some people say, debt cancellation, no need to pay debt already lah. Stop paying. I'm going to spend credit card debt. No, that is not. So that is just the first layer of things. God will, your debt will be cancelled, will be released. Let me bring you to the second level of it. When he says debt cancellation, remember what Jesus taught us how to pray. Forgive us our debts as we also forgive our debtors. Forgive our debts as we forgive our debtors. One surface level of this, yes, God speaks of releasing your debt. God speaks of releasing what you owe. Number two, God also doesn't just concern about money. All of us, I don't know why today I keep saying Chinese. All of us as Chinese, we are very calculative. Say amen. Oh, you also say amen. We are very good at calculating. What that person, you do something to me, I'll get back to you. I'll get back against you. One day you sure can. Chinese people like that, right? You calculate. You calculate how many times. This season, you want to see God moving in our lives. You want to grab this opportune moment. Release those things. You don't repay evil for evil. People may have done a lot of things against you. That person sort of like owe you. Hey, you owe me, you know. Hey, don't pretend, you know. You owe me, you know. What have I done all these days? You owe me, you know. Not money. You've done something bad to me, you know. I will always remember that kind of a principle cannot stand in this season. You and I must choose to release. But I forgive you. Choose to forgive our debtors. Another thing very Chinese, very pain. What is it? Revenge! Correct, not all the from young I watched all the Cantonese movies. Revenge power. All the time, take a knife and all that. You and I, maybe we don't post out inside. Inside, nobody see one. Whenever I get the chance, I put my leg like that, you fall. what happened before? Joseph Bopak. Wait, how come you fall? Pretend. Inside. Very dangerous. This is our cultural mindset. Cultural mindset must go. Okay? We must learn not to repay evil for evil. Not to be so calculative. Because in the kingdom economy, even God allows people to release the slave to cancel debt. And in the New Testament, it becomes even more serious. Why? You don't forgive, you don't get forgiven. You see, Old Testament is just a foreshadow. New Testament is even higher standard. Correct or not? When Jesus came, the standard becomes higher. Don't just say, you cannot murder. If you get angry, correct or not? Sermon on the Mount. Matthew chapter 5. Don't just say, you know, wrong divorce or whatever. You imagine in your mind only, it's the same as if you have done it. And Jesus said, unless your righteousness exceed that of the Pharisees, you have no part in the kingdom of God. When Jesus came and we came with a new covenant, he said, oh yes, Old Testament, all ritual and outside things and all that. Let me bring it deeper. What the heart of the Father was always deeper, concerned about what is inside you. You talk about debt cancellation. Can you cancel people's debt against you? Not money. People scold you. People unjustly betray you. People hurt you, criticize you for no good reason. Step you down, kick you unjustly. Can you forgive? This is the season you and I must choose to forgive and not remember them anymore. Amen. Some people forgive. The moment you see them, I can't see that person. The fire come back. Oh, go on. The moment I forgive. Hey, how come he's here also? The fire comes back very fast. Oh. Burning and not burning. Not the spirit touch your chest burning. That one is a flesh burning. Flesh burning. The whole film come out already. You know film? All the movie in your mind come out already. How he treated you. How from there you connect. Connect not just to how he mistreated you. How your husband. All come already. All one package. Then full of fire. Angry. Very easily angry, everything come out already. If we can learn to forgive people's debts. Yes, I'm unjustly scolded. I didn't do any wrong. But the principle of kingdom is if I can learn not to repay evil with evil. I've learned not to be calculative. Amen? So that's the first thing. Hallelujah. This season is a time of liberation, deliverance, and freedom from the world, from whatever bondage you are in. Number three, from cancel and canceling debt. Number two, this season also speaks about rest. Rest has been a very interesting subject. I've gone through rest. I've talked about rest many, many times. And I never seem to be able to exhaust the subject because rest is powerful. The Feast of Tabernacles speaks of rest. The end time secret speaks of rest. So rest is not just a one-time thing or one, you know. It is said in, Paul actually said, in Hebrews, it was said, the people did not enter into rest. They missed their destiny. They missed their promised land. And a warning was given. Let us not be like them. If we do not enter into a rest, right? So what is this rest? When we talk about Sabbath, in the Old Testament, you really cannot work. Cannot read your handphone thing. That is also considered work. You know, last time a lot. In the Bible, in the Torah, there were many things you cannot do that will amount to work. But subsequently, the rabbis, the Pharisees added more. Right? Then the disciples took something to eat on the Sabbath. Hey, how come your disciples took something to eat? Cannot even take something to eat. What is all this? What are they foreshadowing in the new covenant? What is it? When God instituted the 7 day as Sabbath, what did God say? I've created everything, right? 6 days. I created everything. On the 7th day, I cease from work. That is rest. I cease. What is cease?
Stop.
Come on. Oh, English teacher, very good. I stop from my work. Well, this is a very, very difficult lesson. This is a very powerful thing. You and I are so used to doing things our ways, relying on our strength, relying on what we think, right? Relying on how we think, how we judge some things, how we, right, make some assessments. Amen?
Yes.
But when you cease from that, you don't know what to do. I said, Brother Alex is very good at something. And I said, now you don't depend on what you know. That is rest. And you fully trust God to do what you know best to do. Many times, the disciples were challenged. I'm a very good fisherman. What do you mean you suddenly ask me to turn here and fish? And many times when they chose to rest, cease from their own work, I'm a fisherman of Jesus. Who are you? You're a son of carpenter. I'm a fisherman, professional fisherman. But many times you miss the blessing. You pray. You know very well. But you somehow receive a word, a revelation. Do this differently. Do this according to how I say. I cannot be lah. I got this degree, you know. I studied this so much already, you know. I read so many books about this, you know. Why you tell me this is the way to do it? You don't do it, you miss the blessing. You know? These disciples always challenge you to do that. Hey, I'm smarter, I can think more. What do you mean? What do you mean I just do according to what God says? That is the secret of resting. I cease from my own work. Hello? Are you still with me?
Yes.
You cease, you stop. The disciples decided, okay lah, at your word, I will do it. At your word. Also, don't jangan pandai-pandai imagine something then think it's God. It has to be truly God. Amen? At your word, I will do it. And very interestingly, when Jesus came to this earth, it is like, you know, Hokkien say tiao ti, purposely, man. On Sabbath day, purposely, Jesus will do a lot of things. Right, man? Jesus healed. Oh, at least there are, let me see, at least there are four instances Jesus healed people on Sabbath day. Hey, isn't it wrong? Yes, according to man's law, it is wrong. But Jesus came to say, now I am the Lord of Sabbath. What is true rest? True rest is doing what I see the Father is doing. I cease from my own work. I see my Father healing that person. I do that work. So what is true Sabbath? Revealing the true heart of the Father. Not in the do's and don'ts. We always think Christianity is, oh, I don't do this, I don't do that. No, true rest is no longer bound by, I cannot do this, I cannot do that. You rest. I only do because I love my Jesus. I see my Jesus will be happy with this. But if you think, I must do this because I'm a Christian, I cannot do this because I'm a Christian, you learn that's the first stage. Then you rebel inside. But as you go deeper into God, then you learn, hey, Jesus is teaching us. Even Jesus himself, on the Sabbath, he healed someone. He does something, not because correct or wrong, he does something that is in the heart of his Father. Speaks of a relationship. We cannot be bound by do's and don'ts, that then we become very legalistic. Very legalistic. I cannot do this, I can do this, I cannot do that. It's not so much that God put all these things in place as our protection, but we must see beyond the do's and don'ts and see the heart of the Father. What is the heart of the Father? He wants to heal. Amen. He wants to bring freedom. He wants to bring freedom. And in the instances when Jesus healed, all these four, five instances when Jesus healed during Sabbath, he used this type of words. On Sabbath, you must do good. That is the heart of the Father. On Sabbath, I'm releasing. I'm giving freedom. There was a crippled woman. He said, I pronounce freedom from your illness. It is consistent throughout. Even in the New Testament, when Jesus was doing something on the Sabbath, he was healing. He was delivering. This is the season for signs, wonders, miracles. Amen.
Amen.
You and I must believe. If you don't see it, you do not expect it. You don't expect it, you do not want it. You do not desire it. You do not think it's for you. And if you believe it, you can see it, you will want to expect it. Amen?
Amen.
I know it's already close to 10. I'll finish the last point. So there are three things. Number one, freedom. Amen? It's not that, like I said, liberation. Tell the person next to you, deliverance. Freedom.
Freedom.
Right? Freedom from what? From the world, from bondage, and debt cancellation. Remember that? Amen. Number two, you learn to rest. You cease from your own work. You do what is in the Father's heart. Amen. Number three. Turn with me to Exodus 31. Exodus 31, verse 13. It says, "Speak also to the children of Israel, saying, Surely my Sabbath you shall keep, for it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that you may know that I am the Lord who sanctifies you." There are two verses. I give you another one. Ezekiel 20, verse 20. Just write it down. So, Ezekiel 20, verse 20, and this Exodus 31, verse 13, it speaks of Sabbath as a sign that we may know God. That is in Ezekiel. In this season, you can know God. You can experience God. You can really get into a deeper intimacy with God. Amen. And the second part is you may know God is the one who sanctifies you. Sanctifies you. Like I said last week, this is a time God is bringing a deeper consecration, deeper sanctification. Sometimes you don't know, hey, what is this thing happening in my life? God is bringing sanctification. Tell your friend to the next to you, sanctification.
Sanctification.
And then ask him or her, what is sanctification? Ask, what is sanctified? Hey, don't want to ask again. What is sanctified? Do you get any answer? Huh? Is it cleansing? Is it cleansing? What is sanctified? Oh, I did not, just now I thought you already amen. Quickly want to let it go, I'm tired already. What is it? What is sanctified?
To make holy.
To make holy, yeah. To make pure. When do you learn that? My doctor. In the Bible. Oh. I didn't secretly tell you, right? Sanctification means set apart to be holy. Set apart to be holy. You are going to be different from the world. This has to happen now. God's people, it is time this has to happen. We must become more, there must be an increasing difference between you and the world. Because God is making a clear separation. Who is for him, who is against him. Even in the church of God, there is also a clear separation taking place. The true and the false. The sheep and the goat. It has to happen. This is the season that's happening now. Even in, I know it's unwanted in the US, but there is a great separation in of all levels for many reasons. But this has to happen. In this season, you know God, and God is the one who sanctifies you. Set you apart to be holy. Set you apart to be different. Because Israel is always surrounded by nations who worship idols. They are always supposed to be different from the nations neighboring them. And ask yourself, I ask myself, in your life, what you do, your practice, your behavior, your thoughts, is it very much the same as the world? Then God must do a deeper work in us to sanctify us. Amen?
Amen.
To make us, to distinguish us from the world. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The things of God should attract us. God should become more and more pleasurable to us. This is the season we should really desire God above every other thing. If it is not, we should question ourselves why. Let's turn to Isaiah chapter 58. Isaiah chapter 58. Isaiah chapter 58, verse 13 and verse 14. If you have found it, say amen. Isaiah 58, verses 13 and 14.
Amen.
Let's read together. 1, 2, go. If you turn away your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy day of the Lord honorable, and shall honor him, not doing your own ways, nor finding your own pleasure, nor speaking your own words. Verse 14, then you shall delight yourself in the Lord, and I will cause you to ride on the high hills of the earth, and feed you with the heritage of Jacob your father. The mouth of the Lord has spoken. You see, every time, given this, in these two verses, there is a promise given when it speaks about obedience in terms of Sabbath. So let's look again. What is the thing we can draw from verse 13? If you turn away your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure, how does God sanctify us? We give up our pleasure. You look at verse 13 towards the end. We give up our own ways, our own pleasure, our own words. These are the areas God wants to deal with us. Our own ways, our pleasure. What do we find pleasure in? Our words and our ways. If we do that, and we make Sabbath a delight, if we make God a delight, resting in Him, living in His ways a delight, we will enter fully into this season. We will seize the moment. And there is an adjustment to be made. What adjustment to be made? The way I speak my words. The way I do my ways. I don't do my ways anymore. It's the same. From the verses I say just now, it's consistently throughout the Bible. The way I do things must change. The way I say things must change. The things that I find pleasure in, if it is not pleasing to God, must change, must be given up. Amen.
Amen.
Hello? Amen. Before God gave the commandment about Sabbath, okay? Before God started talking, Sabbath is in 10 commandments, do you know? In case you forget. Sabbath is one of the 10 commandments, right? Before God gave the 10 commandments, there was a foreshadow of that. What was it? When God gave manna. When God gave manna from heaven, at that time, God didn't release 10 commandments yet. But He begins to begin to draw it to the people. You collect manna only 6 days. The 7th day, you don't collect them. And God said, I do this to test if my people will obey me and whether they will be faithful to me. And He still finds some people who are left. Correct? Our nature is like that. Human nature. We will still do something. Why? If I don't collect, what if no manna appear? Can you see that? Very logical. Very correct. Right? What if no manna on Sunday? You want my children to die? Correct? Right? Very logical, right? The Shemitah here. You have to leave the land and plow for 1 year. Hey, how to survive that year? I cannot get any fruit from there. I cannot get any vegetable from there. Logical thinking, common sense thinking. A clever person, a normal person who's crazy. Leave the land for 1 year, Shemitah. Let go of the servant. All these are things that are against common sense, against logic, against normal intelligence. You must be crazy to ask me not to go out and collect manna for something. That is the way God is expecting us to live. Trust is easy if you can see it. But it is not easy when you don't see it. God wants us to live that way in this season. You dare to give up something at His word. What? So many years I've been doing this. Huh? So many years I've been attached to this. Huh? So long I've been loving all this. And now, at His word, you do that. Then you are no longer tied by this world. If the world changes, things become very hard, I'm not afraid. Economy goes bad, I'm not afraid. God is my source. God is my provider. Do you see that? But God has to lead us through this. The normal things in life. Because we build our security, our dependence on so many things. And when these things are shaken, we build it on our relationship, we build it on many things. When these things are shaken, we are shaken to the core. And I can tell you, many people will leave the faith one day when the things go hard. Many people from mega churches, because their faith and their relationship is built on the mega church. You throw them in a place like that, they cannot worship God. You ask them to come to a house like that to worship. Hey, how come no lights? No, don't have light. Hey, why the worship leader didn't wear a big jacket or what? I cannot worship. You know what I mean? The faith is built on certain things. When you don't have that, all that things, can you still? That's why it is in the word, not I say it. There's a falling away. How can falling away happen? Because we build our relationship, our faith on all these things. And in this season, God is working, asking us to let go of these things. Finally, to trust. And if God says seven, means I don't collect, means I don't collect. Tomorrow wake up, I believe God will put their food there on my table. It's good enough. It will multiply, it will increase. Only then you can see the supernatural. Only then you can see the miracle. You always ask, I want to see the supernatural. I want to see the miracle. You all, everything okay? You are doing it supernatural. No need supernatural, but, huh? Money, money, money. You got money, money, money. All the supernatural happened already. As long as you got money, 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 all supernatural happened already. Why you need supernatural? You think this is a circus? You think God is circus? Entertainers is supernatural. We always think like that. But just supernatural comes. Supernatural steps in when your money, money, money. Bolui je. Gua boli bolui, gua boli bolui. Then the supernatural comes in. Amen. Hallelujah. So whatever you're going through now in this season, God is preparing us. Wear the right clothes. Seize the moment, my brother, my sister. Seize the moment. You and I have to make changes because I am saddened. I am saddened. Sometimes you know the season. You can tell people about the season. People don't care. People don't make adjustments in their lives. They live life business as usual. They missed it. They do not seize the moment. What could have been a breakthrough year for a person? You delay. You keep on delaying. Because you're not willing to make adjustment, you're not willing to obey. Obey. What does it mean for me? What does it mean for you? May the Holy Spirit speak to you and me. Does it mean I have to spend more time with God? I think for me that's true. Amen. Does it mean I have to obey God? Yes. What are the things I have to change in my way of thinking? What are the things I have to change in my way? God is sanctifying, setting us apart. And you will see deliverance in your life. What is not right? Your bondage. Some people are in bondage for many, many years. And they are old, they are still in bondage and they do not know. This is the time, let's be free. Let us rise, hallelujah. Can you stand? What is your response, my brothers, my sisters? What is your response? The author posed a very important question. He said, a door is open. A door to advance the kingdom. You can replace that with other words. You know, a door to fulfill your destiny, a door to see acceleration in your life, a door to see prayers answered in your life, a door to let your life be drawn nearer to God, a door where you can step into intimate relationship with God, a door where you can receive healing, a door where you can receive freedom, a door where you can receive breakthrough, a door where you can know God is open. If you and I can seize the moment. Because we do not know how long will this moment last. As much as God works in times and seasons, there are so many examples in the Bible that people miss what God was doing. Time and again, people miss. And God has to restart with a new generation. You know, for the Israelites, God has to wait an old generation to die, wait for a new generation, Joshua, lead them to go into the promised land. That's so fearful, you know. God has to wait for a new generation. God wants to start all over again. But in the new covenant, he doesn't have to wait for a new generation. Why? The new covenant, Jesus has said it is finished on the cross. Each time you and I go to Jesus, it is a reset for you and for me. It is finished. He is rest. He said, come to me, I will give you rest. He is the reset button. He, you come to him, we have a reset. But the problem is we do not come to him. We think we are cleverer than him. We think there are many ways to do this. There are many ways to solve this problem. This is what I learned here. This is what I learned there. This is what formula, that formula. The simple thing is come to Jesus. Grab hold of Jesus and do what Jesus asks you and I to do. Amen. Just close your eyes. Ask the Holy Spirit to speak to you even now. As I ask Brother Joseph to just say something. Thank you, Jesus. Just close your eyes, open your heart. Whatever God, through the Holy Spirit, is speaking to you tonight, I ask that you respond to him. Because every time if God speaks to you, he wants to see a response to you. Thank you. Oh, let the God. Thank you.
your eyes. Just close your eyes. Come nearer, close your eyes. You're not going to wait for men to pray for you. We and I are here. Our eyes are upon God. And I believe the Holy Spirit is here even now. Some of us have to release the debts we have been carrying against people. Some of us, these things have become a hindrance. And in this season, you and I cannot progress, maybe because of that debt you've been holding against people who have mistreated you. What I'm telling you is the time to release. God says it's the time to release. Release the debt. Release the debt over other people. Unjust treatment. No matter how unjust it is, can you release it? You have to, through the power of the Holy Spirit. And some of you, you are bound in some kind of a bondage. Don't miss the opportunity. Seize this moment. If you are in some kind of a bondage, grab hold of Jesus. Say, Jesus, I believe in you. Set me free today. Holy Spirit, come set me free today. Whatever bondage I'm in. Some of us have to learn to surrender. You may know too many things. It's not wrong. But when it takes the place of you obeying God, you may become a hindrance there. Let's prepare ourselves. Let's consecrate ourselves before God. As God sanctifies us, He sets us apart as He works in us. What is your response? What is your response? Just close your eyes, don't look around. Close your eyes. You are serious with Him today. God will be serious with you. Whatever bondages you are in today, come on, give it to God today. Ask Holy Spirit to set you free today. Sometimes you don't know because we are many years Christians, but there are certain thought patterns, there are certain things, certain bondages that still hold us. Begin to talk to Jesus now. Cry out to God if you know you are in certain bondage. Now is not the time to be shy, to be embarrassed. Lift your hands to Him. Just lift your hands to Him. You are not lifting your hands to me, you are lifting your hands to God. Father, I pray for everyone here this evening, Lord. Lord, I pray your eyes be upon us this evening, Lord. We welcome you, Holy Spirit. We welcome you, Holy Spirit, to do what only you can do, Lord. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Every hand that is lifted up, you see the humility in their hearts, Lord. You see their humility in their hearts. You see the need in their hearts. You see their struggle, Lord. God, this is the time you want to seize this moment. What you want to do in our lives, to fulfill the destiny in our lives. You want to begin to work in our hearts. You want to set us free. You want to heal us. God, we long for them. We want that, Jesus. We want you, Lord. Because from your heart you begin to want, you cannot be passive about this. What is your response? What does it mean to seize the moment? What does it mean to seize the moment? It doesn't mean that, oh, it can't come, lah. It don't come, don't come, lah. It happened, happened, it don't happen, don't happen. That's not seizing the moment. Seizing the moment is, God, oh, I believe what you say. I want to be a partner. Lord, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Brother Joseph continue to play the guitar. You open your heart right now. You open your heart by talking to Him. Presenting your heart before Him. Don't keep quiet, present your heart before Him. Prepare your heart. Prepare your heart now. Talk to Him. Talk to Him now. Don't wait for man. Talk to Him now. Father, we welcome your Holy Spirit now. Come, Holy Spirit, speak and speak to every heart. Speak to every heart now. Minister to every heart even now, Lord. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, we speak freedom to every bondage. Lord, we declare freedom. We declare liberation, deliverance, and freedom. In Jesus' name, we set free this evening. In Jesus' name, we set free. For those of you who are holding on to the debts of other people, against other people, begin to release those debts. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.